WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to
your own, your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen's jumping up and down, getting everybody into it, one play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Okay, going up.
Who's going to go home?
That's what we want.
Are you seniors? Will you let
this
be taken away from you? No, you're sorry. No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
This is Ben Davis. We're coming.
Welcome back to the 33rd season of Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm here with Coach Russ Mann. This is episode 2, right after the Cathedral game. Coach Mann, welcome back. Welcome to the second episode of the 33rd season. How are we feeling today?
Not bad. It was a little warm one today. A little warm. Glad to be back.
Yeah, I don't think you've been here for all 33 seasons. Let's just make that clear.
Yeah.
Neither have I, although I was here when they did change the name to Inside Ben Davis Football.
What was it the first time?
Dick Dullahan Show.
Oh, well, I guess keep naming it that.
Yep, and then Coach D started sending assistants, and we were like, this is not really the Dick Dullahan Show anymore, Coach. And he's like, Inside Ben Davis Football. We're like, okay, there you go.
You do a good Dick Dullahan.
Thank you.
He has really good impressions. yeah, so we're going to talk about last week real quick. I wanted to ask one thing is, last week we did talk about leadership. I remember we talked about that and how you said it might flip. Do you think it flipped, or do you think there are some things, you know, that are the same but just didn't work out in that game? There were a couple unfortunate plays where it's like, what can you do about that?
Yeah, and the leadership really picked up. Those moments come on Saturday morning. Those moments come after the game. Those moments come at halftime. And those are the first opportunities for our guys in these moments to step up as leaders. And they did, and there were some things that they identified as potential issues that needed to be addressed, and our guys did a nice job with that Saturday morning.
Of course, yeah. You know, Saturday mornings after are always really, really important, you know, seeing what the guys, you know, come together and see if they can overcome things, you know, not with anybody stepping in. That's when you know you have a really, really good football team.
We had a lot of new guys out there, too. Not necessarily new guys on the field. Yes, there were some new personnel out there, but there was also new personnel on the sidelines. That was the first Friday night experience, and they needed to learn things that they could roles, the new roles that they have, things that they can do, and there's maybe a few plays that they play in the game or the role that they can have just being on the sideline.
Yeah, of course. And one thing I was impressed about was the defense. There was a lot of times where, you know, it felt like they were picking up speed and the defense was locked down. And, you know, there were some things that, you know, they let up, but they only let up 17 points against Cathedral. That's really, really good.
It felt like more. It definitely did. We bled a little bit. We gave up a little bit on the run. And they did do a nice job of, you know, I don't like the philosophy of, like, bend but don't break. But there were some bend but don't break moments. And if that's the type of game that we're going to get into, then great. Let's keep them out of the end zone. But, yes, they're only 17 points. But just as we broke today, there were 24 points. And we swallowed those other 24 points. All of those are on defense. So, the defense was out there for 17 of them. But it felt like more. Felt like more points.
You know, when you talk about that one that kind of came off the turnover, you really had the two critical turnovers. Had kind of an unfortunate interception that just kind of went right through Mark Zachary's hands. He had the fumble down close. Both of those were key in this game because certainly you were able to move the football. You definitely had some yards through the air on Max Preps, 248 yards through the air with Isaiah, 28 of 43 with that 65% completion rating. But when you look at how you were able to move the ball through the air, what was kind of the biggest, other than the turnovers, what was the biggest kind of barrier to the Giants getting in that end zone?
Punching it in that end zone, yeah. I think if we're fortunate enough to score against Avon this week, which I would hope We punch it in, but they've heard enough crap from me this week. I've called the end zone the force field. I've sent a lot of pictures of force fields. It's just like, we'll break through that thing. And just punching it down to the two-yard line, not getting it in, and moving the ball, like you said. And I thought both offenses did that. I thought both offenses got kind of what they wanted. They were moving down the field, Cathedral punching it in, us not punching it in. And some things that we have addressed as a staff, and there are some things that we've seen this week in practice, some different ways of punching it in once we get in the, a little bit closer. When you get inside the five-yard line, you pass it all the way down there, then your windows kind of close up a little bit. As a defense, I know as a defense coordinator, I like to start bringing the pressure, start taking away the comfort of the quarterback a little bit. And the what was successful in getting down there, your identity has to change a little bit. And so there's been some things that addressed, and we'll see that, you know, as the season goes on, what is our identity inside that five-yard line.
Do you hope to maybe utilize Elijah a little more down inside the 10? Not that we're giving away any secrets or anything here to Avon or anybody else, but is that something you'll try to look at maybe a little more?
Yeah, in the just get him the ball as many times as possible. Like, at any facet of the game, if it's defense, get an interception. If it's punt return, kickoff return, if it's as a receiver, if it's snapping it to him, if it's handed off to him, him with the ball is fun to watch. He presses a lot of buttons on the controller.
Absolutely. And one thing I wanted to bring up is Isaiah. And it's he did have a – some people could say he's bad, had a bad performance. I don't think he had a bad performance. I think he had a performance that is progressive in the way that he –
That's a good word.
Okay, that's a nice way to put it. He had a progressive game where he was learning. Mm-hmm. I think it was a learning lesson for him, you know, in some facets of the game. And I think I wanted your take on that and see how you felt about how he's progressed from, you know, his first game as a starter, and to see how he has addressed the adversity that he showed on, you know, Friday.
We may have need to reverse roles in this, and I ask you the question, because progressive is actually a really good way to describe it. And I thought he looked comfortable. I thought he really looked comfortable in the pocket. If he could have one throw back, it's probably the second play of the game. You heard a phrase a lot this summer was air with air. If there's an open receiver that is deep down the field, we don't need to hold down the button on the Madden controller. We can go ahead and put a little bit more air on it. And would it change the game? Don't know. Doesn't matter. We missed it. But when you have an open opportunity down the middle of the field, put air with a little bit more air on the ball and give your receiver an opportunity to make the play. And that was maybe one throw that I would think he wishes he could have back. The one interception was the one just before half. The other one was a volleyball set. It was kind of a nice little spike for the corner opportunity. But misread on the fourth down. Malik made a nice catch, but it wasn't rewarded the catch. That's fine. We don't blame it on any officials. That you got to win a game by 28. And that's what we did in the state championship. We went by 28, and then a missed call doesn't matter. And if we put ourselves in those opportunities, or we put ourselves in an unfortunate situation like that, then that's on us for, if something is a 50-50 call, it's not given our way. So misread on that, we probably could have gone with the number two receiver. But other than that, I thought he looked poised in the pocket. I thought he looked comfortable. I thought he did a nice job delivering the ball. I thought he had a pretty nice game.
Absolutely. I think progressive. Like, I think he progressed as a player, learned things.
Absolutely.
As a player.
Great way
on the field. Because there's nothing like, you know, being out on that field and seeing it for, you can see it on film. Like, I saw it on film when I played, and it just isn't the same on film as it is on the field.
He looked good. He looked tall in the pocket. He looked poised in the pocket. Just some little adjustments that we'll make, and hopefully the progressive is the next word we say for next week. If he has a better performance than last week, then hold on. But like you said, he had already completed 28 passes. And
28 of 43 for 248, 65.1. But, of course, no touchdowns. That's one of the biggest things. And as you said, I think Kyle Nedrup pointed out in one of his articles this week, because Kyle's always writing something. And
does a great job.
Just a wonderful asset for high school sports in Indiana. Been on this show before as a guest. But also, when he talked about that play that you referenced there, just missed a mark on that play. And that makes it a different ballgame, obviously. You talk about the the way the game kind of flowed. And then, you know, you talked about it last week on this program that Cathedral likes to steal a possession. And you know, there you are halftime. We're getting the ball back, and then they steal a possession from you and go down and punch it in. And that changed the game.
Oh, absolutely. Good teams will find a way to win the last 2 minutes of just before half. In basketball, same thing. The best basketball teams, the game might be tight with about 2 minutes to go before halftime, and then the better basketball team goes in with like an 8-point lead. And that's what kind of happened in this game here, where we're about to punch it in and make it 10-7 and get the ball at the beginning of the second half. And boy, did it turn 24-0 real quick. And that the better team on that night made two plays there. And both of them, and we're talking with Coach Peebles, and what he said in the paper was that that was not the intent. It was not supposed to be a surprise on the side. And we had worked that as a in practice, knowing that they have the two kickers, and we had our kickers try to smoke the ball at our guys, and they kept missing, like, and it kept going. Like, the one on Thursday, I mean, it whizzed right over the shoulder pads of somebody because we had our guys down, and then on Friday, it went right off a leg. Like, the kicker found a hot target. It's just like trying to hit a golf ball through the forest. You know, like, man, I think I can make it through these trees. But
I've been there.
it hit one of the trees, and it came right back. And you can tell, like, a lot of the Cathedral guys were going down to cover. So they were shocked that it came back so far. So
kind of just a, you know, one in a million shot there, and it happened.
He found a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on that note, as I'm not saying it's going into next week, but as learning experience on that, when you go off to the sideline, you know, what are you saying to the guys, you know, on that specific play as they come off the field and they're like disappointed? What do you try to say?
On that kickoff return, a lot of the guys up on that front wall were defensive guys, so didn't get an opportunity to talk to them for a while because they're not on defense, so they were staying out on that field. But the adjustment that we'll have to make if both teams are lucky enough to get to regionals, that's going to be their kickoff, and that's going to be their kickoff for the next 2 years. Those two kickers that they use are juniors now, and they put this kickoff in to begin the playoffs last year, and they were sophomores, and you could see that there's an identity that they have with it. If you don't cover up by the kickers, they're going to surprise onside you. They're going to just do a little, you know, something that goes about 11 yards. And if you're, whatever, they're not covering the space, we covered as much of the field as possible. And that's why they were kicked a few of them deep. And we only had two guys back there. We were kind of asking them to kick it deep, you know, only putting two guys back there. So we'll watch how other teams plan for them that during these the 9 weeks or the other 10 games that they'll play between now and the potential regional game, and we'll see what has the most success.
Absolutely. I also wanted to talk about the run game a little bit. I wanted to talk about how efficient when Elijah Price and Mark White had the ball in their hands, how efficient they were. They were chunk yards. Do you credit that to them, or do you credit that to, you know, the whole offense? I always credit running the ball to the whole offense, offensive line, wide receivers, quarterback. Doesn't matter.
Isaac White's brother is going to love that reference there a second ago. He's an IUSB playing basketball. Mark White is going to love getting the carries there. But you're going to have
just
trouble.
Just a slight difference.
There's a few Whites out there. There's a Mark. Isaac. There's an Isaiah.
Yeah.
But your question is great. And I actually, both sides ran the ball real well. We got away from it a little bit early in the first half, but that's something that the offensive staff was already beating themselves up on before anything had to be talked about or addressed. And we moved the ball both ways. So people wanted to completely identify, like, oh, you know, establish a run, yes. But we also moved the ball with the pass as well. And I think Elijah ended up with 7 carries for 49 yards. And Isaac had 4 carries for 18.
It was 68 yards on 17 carries, so 4 per.
Yeah, and they I believe Juwan got in there for 2, and he had about 9 yards or 10 yards. I joked about this with both our staff. I just said, like, I don't think any defense coordinator was extremely happy, even though one of them is walking away saying they gave up 17 and then one's walking away saying they gave up 0. There were 19 first downs by both teams, and both teams were able to efficiently move the ball. One was able to punch it in. One, has a force field that they're going to get through.
And as you
shields up, shields up. Yep. Right?
You want to? I got it. As you talk about force fields, what was one thing that made you feel like there was a force field on that field? Was it, was it a scheme on their part? Was it just, do you feel like it was at times was yourself, your own personnel? What did it feel like that force field was?
Well, it will be, when we get closer, changing the identity a little bit once we get inside the 5-yard line and taking advantage of opportunities. If we have a coverage beat, making sure that we capitalize on that and score on it. But yeah, definitely. Once the success happens, then the snowball will happen and we'll realize it. And they've heard enough crap from me this week. I'm playing different songs about first times and just making sure that we understand how difficult it is to score. But then once you do realize how awesome it feels, then let's continue that success.
Just a question. You said playing different songs and things. Do you pick the playlist for practice?
There's a variety to it. Probably the best coaches' participation was one time when I asked the coaches, all right, and this is just going into the playoffs last year. I said, I need 3 different songs. I need bangers only. I need something from the 60s, something from the late 90s, early 2000s, and something recent. And I got so many emails in 45 minutes. I lost probably 2 hours of time. This was during the bye week of last year. Oh, my. It was the best coaches participation email I've ever had in my life. Like, holy smokes.
So. Everybody's sending in their favorites.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We got a little bit of variety on there. We got a little WWE. We got some 60s. We have
that's nice.
Oh, yeah. The players got some things on it. We got some things on it. Coaches, everybody.
Coach Spinks had the WWE, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. I think sometimes some of the WWE that I have on there, they're like, Coach, that's their old song. You got to get the better theme music. My bad.
He's going to put the Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, it was on there.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah. Some Shawn Michaels. There you go. Oh, yeah.
Heartbreak John Cena.
Yeah.
The problem was with John Cena, you couldn't see anybody.
That's right. You're right. Exactly.
You couldn't see anybody at all. We are listening to the... You are listening to Inside. You are listening to the 33rd season of Inside Ben Davis Football. We will be right back after this break.
Thanks to Chuck Bear of EXP Realty for his support. Chuck Bear with EXP Realty offers services such as analysis of your home's value, a marketing plan, and knowledge of the market. Serving Central Indiana counties, Chuck Bear of EXP Realty can be reached at 317-698-3339. Online at exprealty.com. Thank you again to Chuck Bear of EXP Realty for his support. Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
Welcome back to the 33rd season of Inside Ben Davis Football. We are back here with, of course, Coach Russ Mann. Coming into next week against Avon. Avon did like to throw the ball last game. They took 31 passing attempts in last week's game. They did only, I think, complete about 13 of those passes. Going into, as I said earlier, the defense is very, very solid and very, very, a very, very collective group when it comes to, the whole defense. How do you plan on, seeing it feels like an air raid offense, but there's also, a really good running back who put up 160-some yards last game. How do you plan, on addressing that?
Well, I think Avon's going to take a little bit of what they saw, that cathedral success. They got into the passing pattern because of the score of that game. They do have a coach's son at quarterback. They can spin a little bit. He's got a pretty quick release. I do think that when the great coaches around here are going to find the success that one previous coordinator had, and they're probably trying to see what they can steal from it and put in their offense. I think with the hot weather and some tempo, I think that Avon will try to, see what they can get with the run and see what they can steal off of Cathedral's offense and see what they can – perhaps there are some things that Cathedral did well or somebody personnel-wise that they feel like Cathedral was going after, and try to do this a little bit the same thing to begin that game. And if they need to get into the pass attack, then they are going to probably, try some of their own stuff to begin the game, and some of the success that Cathedral had. So some good coaches off there, some good offensive coaches. So we better be ready for Friday.
Absolutely.
Yeah, some coaches you know quite well. You talk about Rob Gibson, a guy who came in a couple of years ago, but he's been around the area. I know he came from Owen Valley, which is down in Owen County, I believe.
Great call.
Owen Valley, in Owen County.
Makes sense.
But he 22-3 down there with two sectionals. That's not a bad record. When you look at overall, Avon the last 3 years, they're 5-26. So he's coming into a situation where, you know, Coach Bless, legend in Indiana high school football, he retires. Coach Gibson comes in, replaces, if you can, replace a guy like Mark Bless out there, and comes in. And now he's trying to do what he wants to do with that program. And, you know, they've got the tremendous facilities, the new weight room, all those things out there. So, you know, the problem is they play in the Hoosier Crossroads Conference, just like Ben Davis plays in the MIC, and it's tough every year. So when you look at what he's trying to do out there, what are some of the differences that you see in maybe what he does versus what Coach Bless did before?
Now, I only had one game against Coach Bless.
Yeah, that would be true.
Yeah, the 2 years ago, and I got to kind of joke around with that.
I didn't know if you'd run up against him in other places.
Man, like I would say back at North Central, scrimmaged Avon, but that was Shelbourne.
Yeah.
Then
Dave Shelbourne. Another legend.
Another legend. And the only other time going against Coach Bless, now there were times that I was keeping an eye on him across the city, knowing that there was a potential semi-state matchup with him. But those were times that they were not able to get through Center Grove. And I know there's a legendary play back in 2016. There's a late snap in a game that apparently an Avon kid dove through the Center Grove center and picked off the clock play that the Center Grove kid quarterback was spiking the ball. But there's a legendary interception that wasn't credited, and there's a 35-34 double overtime game between Center Grove and Avon. But the only time going against Coach Bless was 2 years ago, and we were able to go over there and get a win. That was our first win of the year, that 2 years ago. And I joked about that game with Mark Zachary because he's returning punts that game. And so I think you're a little bit more comfortable returning punts now than 2 years ago. But to answer more of the question, I know that the Coach Gibson and his success at Owen Valley and his ambition and drive that he has as a coach, you know, the culture that he wants to establish. I know they changed, like, the Avon Oreo, the A. I mean, he is – a progressive thinker, big picture guy. So he's doing a great job over there, and he's got, you know, a culture that he's trying to build himself. And like you said, it's not easy always to go after a legend, especially if you're somebody that's new to it and not brought up from within. So trying to respect the past and you know, maybe build on something that you have as a vision.
Well, and you know, Avon for years has been kind of quarterback you.
Oh, no.
They've had some great quarterbacks through there. So
the whole west side.
who's spinning it for them right now?
Coach is a camera kid. He is a lefty that played JV last year. The previous starter started basically for 4 years, 3 years, Mason Reynolds. Now, again, I saw him as a sophomore. Saw him as a junior, senior. And that kid had a rifle. Yeah. Holy smokes. And the Jace kid is doing a nice job. Lefty spins a little differently than you know, you're so used to the righties, but he's got a very quick release, and his dad does a nice job of just grooming quarterbacks in this area, and I've worked with him in some of the spring stuff, the 7-on-7s, and he's a football guy here on the west side that and offensively they're going to be able to put up points. They're going to find schematic ways to try to scheme things up against defenses. So and they have a tempo to them too, you know, like a no-huddle type of thing, get people set. They got perimeter players, some perimeter players that are back this week, some that didn't play in week one. So we got our hands full on the defensive side this week.
Absolutely. Yeah, defensively, you do have a lot in your hands. Speaking of, I did want to take a deeper dive into the that elite running back, you know, that they have.
Ashton Carter.
Ashton Carter, that's right. Ashton Carter is he was a beast in the game. I mean, he put up 161 rushing yards and was 184 rushing yards, sorry. And which is insane.
21 carries.
On 21 carries is efficient and a lot of yards. And that's just, you know, do you look at that and be like, reiterate to your guys, like, you don't want what happened last week to happen this week.
No kidding. And we're having more than one or two different ideas or plans to make sure we stop that, clog that up a little bit. One of the things that does help out is getting out to a big lead, seeing if somebody who wants to establish a run. It's kind of like the Colts back in the 2000s with Peyton. You're going against a team that if they could jump out into a big lead, let their DNs work on the pass rush. You know, they sit over there on first and second down, wait for that dong in the RCA Dome, and here they come, Dwight Freeney and Mathis, and they're just wrecking havoc and nice and fresh and, like, stretched down, all the Gatorade in them, and then they would come in on third down. But there was a lead in that game. You know, Peyton already had, like, a 17-point lead or a quick 14-0 lead, and would teams stay with that run? And that could be a little bit of a design that we have is let's jump out early on some teams and make them think that they got to go right back to the pass now, and are they going to stay patient with the run game? And as defensive coaches, you know, having more than a few schematic things ready, are we going to be stunting a lot? Are we going to be a three-man front, a four-man front? Back in the 90s and 2000s, there were defense coordinators that were just known to be a one defensive front. We're not that way. We will run a four-man front. We'll run a three-man front. We'll run we'll stunt. We'll move. Or do we have to just stay basic and get more backers out there and clog things up? So we have a few things planned for this week.
Yeah, you know, Ben Davis was 4-3.
They were.
Will, yep. Mike, and Sam, the back there. When you looked at them, you're absolutely right. You know, that has changed over the years. Of course, we used to be I formation as well.
I was going to say, when you said 4-3, I said I formation of 4-3.
Dick Dullahan with the I formation, and that's the way it was for years. As you look at this Avon team, you know, Brody kind of brought up what they did on the ground. They also had the 182 yards through the air in that first game. But then when you look defensively, they give up 263 yards in the air, according to the Max Preps stats, if I can talk. And they give up another 115 on the ground. Also on special teams, something I noticed, they give up 83 kick return yards against a team like Lafayette Jeff, which we know can definitely do some damage offensively. They have for years. So
Coach Shanley,
lots of opportunities for you. Do you think this week, looking at their defense, that maybe this might be a week to get out of this kind of rut?
Yeah.
Break the force field. Hopefully,
break the force field. I'm not saying that because of Avon's defense.
Right.
I'm just saying because of our offense. Our offense staff had a game plan for Friday that there were things that they had planned that were working. Just didn't cross that last line of the field, the force field line, the end zone. I think I did some snow angels in the end zone yesterday during practice, just saying how good and comfortable it feels over there. But defensively, they are if we are able to have the success that Lafayette Jeff had, that'd be great. You know, and they were able to punch the ball in quite a few times on, and they jumped down to about a 34-7 lead in the third quarter. And when you get into a game like that, then it gets a lot more comfortable. So if we can find some success on it, I think it's going to be pretty big for our team this season to jump on some early leads. And once we jump onto the early lead, you know, the mystique of the defending champions, you know, will weigh on some of the teenagers' heads. And then the identity that we will, you know, develop on defense and in the perimeter that we'll have, let teams throw that ball in the air. You know, we have some perimeter players out there that are pretty good ball skill guys that can make some plays on the ball. So getting out to a lead, you know, forcing some people to throw it. And then if we can get some defenses to play on their heels, that'd be great.
Yes, I don't think we mentioned that they did lose last week. Avon did as well, 42-28 to Lafayette Jeff.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, they're going to come in hungry. They're going to want to win.
First home game for them, too.
Yeah, first home game for them. And you guys are going on a two-game away stretch here on these next two games, Avon and Pike. I just wanted to, you know, ask for your keys to the game. You know, what do you think is the most important things, you know, you have to reiterate to the guys on either Friday, for the rest of the week, for the rest of time, maybe? Yeah.
Offensively, we have two words for our goals, and it's score points. Defensively, two words. A lot of times there's a lot of coaches that like goal boards. They put these things in the locker room and dangle carrots in front. Like, if we have 100 yards rushing, or if we are this, you know, third down conversions, blah, 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 blah. Our offensive goal, it's two words, score points. And our defensive goal, two words, get stops. That's it. That's it. That's the philosophy for this Friday. Offense, when they get on the field, score points. Defense, when you get out there, get stops. And hang your head on that no matter what. If the ball is the offense, or unfortunate turnover, and we get the ball on the 8-yard line, well, they get a stop defense. Like, and that means force a kick. And if they, you know, force them to 3 points on that one, or a block kick, or they go for it on fourth down, get a stop. That's your goal. It doesn't matter where we get the ball defensively. It doesn't matter where we get the ball offensively. When we get the ball offensively, you may get it on your -8. You got to go 92 yards. It's not flip the field. It's not ball control, like manage a game. It's score points. So defensively, it's get stops.
Absolutely. Of course, thank you for joining me, and thank you for joining me, everybody that's listening. Thank you for joining me, Coach Mann. Thank you for joining me, Mr. Easter. This has been the 33rd season and second episode of Inside Ben Davis Football. Ben Davis will be playing Avon at 7 o'clock sharp at Avon on the 30th of this
night.
Month.
Yeah.
Friday night.
Could be warm.
It's always a special night for me because my father was one of the first varsity football coaches at Avon.
All right.
It's so awesome.
Always a special night.
House divided.
Yeah, not really.
No, not really. make sure to show your support. I feel like everybody on the team would appreciate it. You know, make sure to show out and show support. Thank you guys so much for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.